Well, good evening again, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the bonus class. Just in preparation for our brother Stephen's class, we've asked our brother Phil if you all please rise to open with a word of prayer. This is Watchan Lake Bible School 2018. This is the Monday night bonus class. Our speaker is our brother Stephen Hornhart, and the topic for tonight's class is the key to unlocking the time periods of Revelation. Brother Stephen.
Now, there's one thing I need to say just before we get started. That is this, that I noticed on the program with this bonus class, I don't think, to my knowledge, there was any time allotted. Is there not? If there's not, so that's fantastic. So if I get cold and I wrap it up in 15 minutes, that's it. I'm within the legal limits of the program.
Want to borrow a sweater?
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, brethren and sisters. Now, with respect to the time periods of the apocalypse, what we want to do is just have a look at a couple of examples of the time periods and give you a key or give you some keys to unlocking those time periods themselves. So I'll just turn this on here and let's have a look at the introductory slide. Okay, the key to unlocking the time periods. Now what we find in the book of Revelation is that we have time periods that we need to either singly convert or we doubly convert, or there are no conversions required. In fact, there's only one time period in the apocalypse where no conversion is required. Does anybody know what that one is? It is indeed. And there's a reason. There are three reasons, actually, why there is no conversion required for that 1,000 years. What I want to do, first of all, is to just have a look at what we mean by single conversion and double conversion. And we've got a number of examples here, but I want to give you an example that I just will dream up in my head, and it will go like this. Now, this is not an example that you'll find in the apocalypse. So let's say, for instance, we read in the book of Revelation, which we wouldn't because it's not there, but if we read in the book of Revelation that there was this monster that was going around a city and was keeping the occupants in the city for 2 days. So for 2 days, this monster roamed around the city and would not allow anybody in or out. Now, if we were to look at that apocalyptically and we would go, okay, on the basis of a day for a year principle, which we will use to these single conversions and double conversions, on the basis of a day for a year principle, for instance, Genesis 47 verse 9, Jacob said, the days of the years of my life, days of the years, day for a year. In Numbers 14 and verse 34, the spies went in for 40 days and spied out the land, and therefore Israel would wander in the wilderness 1 year for each of those days, a day for a year. We know the record in Ezekiel 4 and verses 4 through 6, Ezekiel would lay on his side a certain number of days, and those years would be attached to each of those days. And the quotation in Luke chapter 13 and verse 32, they came to Jesus Christ and they said, Herod's after you. And Jesus said, you tell that fox that I must work today and tomorrow and the day thereafter be glorified. And he spoke of the 3 years of his ministry and looked at them as days. So in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we have this principle of a day for a year. Now, single conversion, what do we mean by this little example? So we've got this hypothetical example of this monster not allowing people in or out of the city. If we were to apply one single conversion on a day for a year principle, how many years would this creature be wandering around the city? Who said that? Because you need to stay back after. On a day for a year principle, this creature would be wandering around the city for... Yes, indeed, of course, correct. So that is a single conversion. 2 days equals 2 years. If we were to doubly convert that little example, we would then say, how many days in 2 Jewish years? 720. So there are 720, and on a day for a year principle, it would be 720 years. So we have converted once, and then we have converted again. We've done a double conversion. Does that make sense? Single conversion or a double conversion. You convert, and then you convert again. The question is, how do we determine when we come to a time period in the apocalypse when we apply a single conversion and a double conversion, or a double conversion? Now, I think there are three criteria that help us to decide. You know, sometimes you might hear brethren say, oh, that conversion there, I've got that by looking at history and working backwards. I used to think that was okay, but it doesn't really cut it. I need a bit more emphasis and a bit more credibility than just looking at history and working backwards. So what determines whether it's a single or a double conversion? Well, I think there are three criteria. First of all, it must fit the decorum of the symbol. Who's not heard of that expression before, the decorum of the symbol? Okay, there's a few of us. That's taken from Eureka, of course, Brother Thomas. The decorum of the symbol. Decorum is appropriateness of behaviour. So we have decorum at a table, we have decorum in the meetings. So when we convert, the symbol must meet the decorum, the appropriateness of behaviour when we look at this time period. What helps us also determine whether it's single or double is the context of the chapter. What is the context all about? And thirdly, this, whether we go single or double conversion, we must match it against the consistency of indisputable knowns within the chapter. There are some things in chapters in the apocalypse where you say that's rock solid ground, that's immovable. Therefore, the time period must fit in with those indisputable knowns within that chapter. So, the quorum of the symbol, the context of the chapter, and whether it's consistent with the indisputable knowns within that chapter. All right, having said that, these are the time periods in the apocalypse. There are 17 of them there. We don't have the 1,000 years. So you've got chapter 8, you've got chapter 9, you've got chapter 11, you've got chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, 17, 18 to the end. Now, if we were to have a look at these time periods and say, well, which ones are the single conversions? Let's just blot out the double conversions and look at the ones that we have with respect to single conversion. There they are. So in chapter 9 and verse 5, 5 months. Verse 10, 5 months. Verse 15 of chapter 9, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year. And 42 months, 1260 days, right through there. Now you can see that we've got, with respect to the 5 months twice used in chapter 9, we've got attached to that 150 years and 150 years respectively. Let's just do a quick little run through of this one. We'll do another little one. I'll check my watch, and if it's too late for me to go any further, I'm going to bed. Okay, so we'll have a look at this first example, brothers and sisters, and the 5 months and 5 months out of Revelation 9, and show you why we singly convert it and how it in fact does meet the decorum of the symbol, and it does in fact meet the consistent knowns within that chapter. So let's just look at chapter 9 in Revelation there on the screen. I'm going to come down here so I can read that a little bit better. All right, we'll just come here. It doesn't matter. You don't need to see me. So what I'll do, would you mind if I just borrow this this chair? You weren't leaning on it, were you? That's all mine. Okay. I'll just huddle down here with the group, and we'll just put myself here. Is that all right? You don't mind my back there? No, I'll turn around this way. It's okay. Okay, brothers and sisters. Now, here we go. Chapter 9. So what we've got here is we've got the fifth angel. So what woe trumpet is this? For all those that were really listening in the last study that we had, it is the first, well done, it's the first woe trumpet. It's the fifth. The sixth trumpet, of course, is the second woe, and then the seventh trumpet is the third woe. So what we've got here is the fifth angel sounded, and of course we've got the spread of Islam in this fifth trumpet, or this second, or this first woe trumpet. And of course the spread of Islam would be the Saracens streaming out of Arabia into Palestine. Okay, see you in the morning, brothers and sisters. Just chat amongst yourselves, will you? Okay, so we've got this. Now, be serious, because this is serious. Okay. No, that was fine. So we've got here, brothers and sisters, the spread of Islam, and we've got, there we go, Muhammad, first of all, coming up to, well, from Mecca up to Medina, and he died very soon after that, and then his successor. They swept into Palestine, and of course, they swept across North Africa into Spain, and of course, tried to come around and take Constantinople. Now, the Islamic Empire, in its zenith, rivaled the Roman Empire, and if you were there in the day and you wanted to cross from here to here in the Islamic Empire, it would take you nearly a year to do that. So extensive was the Islamic Empire. So this is what this chapter is about. Now you see here we've got the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe. And there we are at the end of the end of this little section here in verse 12. One woe is past, that is the fifth trumpet, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Well, looking at the context of the chapter, we've got these locusts streaming out, and for those of us who may not be familiar with this, we've got the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were like teeth of lions, and they had breastplates. What did John see? He saw a mob or a swarm of Saracens flying through and doing their conquests. And when you look at that expression there, they had crowns like gold. Well, there are the Saracens, as they went into battle, wearing these yellow turbans. And they had breastplates of iron. Well, in the Quran, we see, "And Allah hath given you coats of mail which protect you in your wars." Quite interesting when you look at that history with respect to this detail given in Revelation chapter 9. Well, what about the teeth like lions? Well, let's have a look at the Lion of Allah, Ali. Muhammad said, "Who will be my vizier and lieutenant?" Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "O Prophet, I will be thy vizier. I am the man. Whoever rises against thee, I will dash out his teeth, tear out his eyes, break his legs, rip up his belly. O Prophet, I will be thy vizier." Teeth like lions. Graphic description the Bible gives us of these Muslim warrior locusts as they went into battle. But they're locusts. And therefore, the time period given for us, singly converted, is in verse 5 and verse 10. So these locusts would sting and torment with scorpions' tails for 5 months and for 5 months. I feel like a little old man sitting there with that blanket. That was really, really nice. Now I'm coming up here. Okay, brothers and sisters, so we've got this 5 months and 5 months. Now it's a single conversion. We don't need to doubly convert on this one. So if we do a single conversion, 5 months, very simplistically, what time are we looking at? 5 months? 150 years. So for those who are new to this, 5 multiplied by 30 days in a month is 150 days, and 150 days is 150 years. But the Islamic Empire, under these caliphs, under these children of the desert, these Saracens, wasn't in existence for 150 years, it was in existence for 300 years. From AD 636 through AD 936. Therefore, why did God not say, you got 5 months there and 5 months there? You add both those together and you get 300 years. Why did God not put down here and say, well, these locusts would torment and sting and bite for 10 months? And then you would go, 10 months, 10 times 30 is 300, 300 days, a day for a year is 300 years. Why did God not do that? Somebody knows. Exactly. Locusts are busy little creatures for 5 months. They don't go for 10. So God says, no, we're not going to put in a disappropriate decorum when it comes to the context of this chapter. Locusts are active for 5 months. So God goes, they're going to sting for 5 months. They're going to sting for 5 months. Do your little research, put them both together, and we have this Islamic Empire with the Saracens going for those 300 years. It's a very simple little example, but it's a very, very appropriate and accurate way in which God causes this to be written. Now, just a little side, they've got these scorpions' tails. Does anybody know what the scorpions' tails were?
Cannons.
Close.
Saracen fire.
Good. So cannons are coming next. Okay. Not cannons. So John sees these Saracens charge into battle, and they're towing behind them these scorpions' tails. Now, if you looked in the dictionary and looked up the word scorpion, what you would find is that after it mentions something about this little creature that stings you, you will find in a dictionary it says this. The scorpion, the definition, an ancient form of ballista or catapult for hurling stones, etc. And as Brother Bernard had said, for hurling Saracen fire, burning crude oil mixed with secret chemicals to intensify the burning. A powerful sting did John see. And that, brothers and sisters, is what they were talking about. Now look at that book. Greek fire, poisonous arrows, and scorpion bombs. What an amazing thing. So there's an history book that talks about the scorpion bombs that they used. And here it is in Revelation chapter 5, talking about the scorpion's stings. 5 months, singly converted, we've got 300 years when you bring those both together. Okay, that's the little scorpions and the Saracens. What about this one? Revelation 9 and verse 15. There would be a release of the four angels that would be bound by the river Euphrates. And these four angels, these four Turcomans tribes that would sweep in, the Seljuks, the Mongols, the Tatars, and the Ottomans, they would sweep across as a great Turkish flood. And the way in which it should be read, not like our authorized King James Version, where it says in the four angels, these four Turcoman tribes, these four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour. No, the four angels, having been prepared, were loosed for an hour, a day, a month, and a year for to slay the third part of men. These scorpions, in the first of this chapter, they were tormenting. They couldn't kill. They wanted to take Constantinople, or did the Saracens. They wanted Europe. They wanted Catholic Europe, and they wanted Constantinople, but they couldn't. They just had to torment. But the Turks come in and they kill. They can do something the Saracens could not do. And therefore, they were, having been prepared, loosed for the hour, the day, the month, and the year to slay the third part of men. Let's just have a look at that time period. Single conversion. And you can walk with me through this for those of you who haven't done this before. On a day for a year principle, what is a day? That's 1 year. That's very good. That's quite simple, isn't it? On a day for a year. I've got to do something simple because it is at 9:30. And who sits in a marquee at 9:30 in the freezing cold and does maths, I ask you? Okay, so a day for a day is a year. What about a month? Very good. That's exactly what I have here. 30 days equals 30 years. Some of us are new to this, so we'll go through it. What about a year? Jewish year? 360 years. So there's 360 days in a Jewish year, so it's 360 years. What about an hour? 30 years. As a double conversion, yes. 1 month. There are 12 hours in a Jewish day, said Jesus. Did you not know that there are 12 hours in a Jewish day, said the Lord Jesus? I think it's in John chapter 9. There are 12 hours in a Jewish day. It begins at 6 a.m., ends at 6 p.m. 12 hours. Therefore, 1 hour is a 12th of a day, as is 1 month, a 12th of a year. Single conversion, hour, month. On a day for a year? Happy with that? So therefore, 1 hour is 1 month. Adding all of those together, we get these four Turcoman tribes, having been prepared, were released to do a job for 391 years and 1 month. This is not vague generality, brothers. This is absolutely nailed to the month. And what happened? Well, when the Seljuks came in, the first group of them, there was a fellow, well, let's have a look how Constantinople was taken first. Constantinople fell to Mehmet II, Muhammad II, on the 29th of May, 1453. They killed the third part of men with cannon, not these catapults that the Saracens could not destroy or damage Constantinople. But when they determined to take Constantinople was when the Seljuks first came in, and that was the fellow called Toghrul Beg. He comes in, he says to the caliph, where's your daughter? I'm marrying her, and by the way, you are now a puppet, I'll put you over there, I'm in charge of the Islamic Empire, my name's Toghrul Beg, I'm a Seljuk. And when he married the caliph's daughter and became head of the Mohammedan faith, he began a series of assaults on Constantinople. In the 27th of April, 1062, he began to take Constantinople. But it would not be taken until 391 years and 1 month later. That is astounding. We talk about God working with the nation of Israel. We talk about God working back there in the times when the Turks took Constantinople. What an astounding thing. And brothers and sisters, young people, when they took Constantinople, it says in verse 18 of Revelation 9, and by these three was a third part of men killed. A third part of men? Well, the Christian Roman world, the Catholic Roman world, was divided into three sections. The Latin West, which was lopped off by the four wind trumpets of chapter 8. The Hellenized third, which was decimated by the Muslims, the Saracens, as they streamed out of Arabia. That was the fifth trumpet. That was the Saracens with the yellow turbans. And a third, the remaining third, was the Hellenic East, which would be taken by the Turks, by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of the mouths of these cannons. In a book called The Hinges of Battle by Dirtschmied, he says this. He says, the hinge of the battle at Constantinople was gunpowder and the cannon, a weapon destined to revolutionize future warfare, and a gate was left wide open. And that is one of the cannons that was used to take Constantinople. Have you heard of the story of Urban, the Hungarian bell maker? Have you heard that story?
Yes, you have.
Who hasn't heard the story of I need to tell you a little story because I do need to tell you a little story. Who hasn't heard the story? Okay, I'll tell you. Who has? All right, you go to sleep. Now, brothers and sisters, look, it's amazing. You know, this person talks about the hinges of battle. He says it's just it's chance. Incompetence and chance. No, God was at work. This cannon was one of the two cannons that they called Mahometis. They named them after Mehmet or Muhammad II, who was an Ottoman who was on the other side of the Bosporus trying to take Constantinople. What happened with these cannons is there was this fellow who was a Hungarian bell maker, and he was making bells. And he must have had a fairly light day one day, and he was just mucking around, and mucking around is something we say in Australia, which means he was just idly doing little. So he got one of these bells. He turned the bell upside down and thought, we'll do some experiments. So he got this schwashpulver, this black powder. So he puts this gunpowder in this upturned bell, and he puts a wick in there and he lights it, and just a bit of a fizz, nothing happened. So he said, okay, let's put some gunpowder in, let's put a wick in, let's put a rock in the top. So he lights it, woof, and the rock shot out over the other side, bit of a crater in the ground, chickens and pigs flying all over the place, and he goes, wow. So what he says is, right, I'll make a rounder tube here. So he makes this kind of like tube thing, and he puts some gunpowder in there, and I've got a little bit of a wick, and he puts a rock in there, boom, oh, that's great. So he does these sketches, and he goes to his wife, and he said, I'm going. She says, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Constantinople. He says, the emperor in Constantinople can use this. This is amazing. So he goes to Constantinople, knocks on the door and says, let me in. They said, who are you? He said, I've got something for the emperor. Well, they said, come in, show us. And he shows them. And they said, that's ridiculous. Get out. Get out of here. We haven't got time for this. So he goes out very, very put out. He says, oh, I'm going on the other side of the Bosphorus and I'm going to the Turks and I'm going to see the Turks, see if they want this. So he goes to the other side of the Bosphorus. And he says to Mehmet II, he says, I've got something for you. And Mehmet says, what is it? He says, look at this. He says, what is it? He said, I'll show you. So he builds a cannon. And he says to Mehmet II, he says, can you see that ship out there in the Bosphorus? He says, yeah. He said, watch. Boom! And disappeared. And Mehmet II said, that's fantastic. He says, what can you do to those walls over there at Constantinople? And Urban says, don't know. Let me think about it. Well, you know the story, some of you. They called Mehmet II Hunker Drinker of Blood. And the reason he got that title was that if you got on the wrong side of him, he would nail your turban to your head while you were alive. And then he would cut your head off. And then he would put your head on a pole. And then he would put it out of his front door. And so he says to Urban, he says, what can you do to these walls? And Urban says, not sure. And Hunkar said, look at those heads. Now, what can you do to those walls? And he said, anything you like. And so what he did was he built 100 cannons. And he built two cannons, we said, that were so big they called them Mahometis. And it took 400 men to move, operate, and maintain one of them. 400 men and 60 oxen. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, these two great big Mahometis being dragged up to the hill and facing Constantinople? Can you see the people leaning on the walls of Constantinople going, heck, he was here a few months ago selling that, and now he's given it to the Turks. Brothers and sisters, God and the angels were there working to make sure that Constantinople did not get the cannons, but rather the Ottomans on the other side. And they took Constantinople in 1453, 391 years and 1 month after they first. What an astounding thing. And so there is a time period of a single conversion. Have we done enough? Are you ready to go to bed? You stop outs. All right, brothers and sisters. Now, that's 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month, and 1 year. Now, these other single conversions, 42 months, we did that this morning. That's very straightforward, as is the witnesses in 1,260 days. They're all very much the same. This is an interesting one. Revelation 12, verse 14, times, time, times, and dividing of time. In Revelation 12, it's 1,260 days. A woman would be nourished as she flees into a wilderness state. Anyone got any thoughts as to why exactly that same period of time is actually written time, times, and dividing of time? Anybody know why in Revelation 12 it changes? It's the same time period. Anyone got any thoughts? No? Yes, it's a key back to Daniel. All right, it's to link us back to Daniel 7. All righty? So if you ever read through Revelation 12, the 1260 days and time is a year, times is 2 years, dividing of time is a half a year. So you do a Jewish year, 2 years and a half a year, add those days together and you get 1,260 days, which is 1,260 years. All right, they're the single times. Now let's do one example, we'll just flip through that, we'll just do one example of a double conversion. We've got a few there. We'll save this one for tomorrow's study. It's a fascinating one. The dead bodies laying in the street for 3.5 days. As is those, we'll save those for our last study. The 1 hour of judgment is coming. Let's just tackle, that one up there. Revelation 8, verse 1, and that'll be the night for us. All right? Just as an example of a double conversion to meet the decorum of the symbol. Now, we've got there, brothers and sisters, in Revelation 8 and verse 1, a half an hour. It is equal to 14 years. Let's just have a quick look at that one in a couple of minutes. How we get 14 years and how this really is a double conversion. Right, here we are. Sixth seal, seventh seal. There's a real contrast between the end of the sixth seal, the great earthquake, all the chaos, and the opening of the seventh seal. So when you open up the seventh seal, the contrast is amazing between the sixth and the seventh seal. And when you open up the seventh seal, of course, Constantine is in power. So, quick timeline. You know this so very well. 312, Constantine is the ruler in the West. We've seen that before. 12 years later, this is Revelation 12, the war in heaven. 12 years later, Constantine in 324 is now the ruler of the world. We also know that in 326, he moved his power, his seat from Rome over to Byzantium, and we know that it was then changed to Constantinople in 330. What's this got to do with silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour? Well, Constantine dies in 337. So there's the death of Constantine. So in Revelation 8 and verse 1, it opens up, and the seventh seal opened, and there was silence in the political heavens of Rome for about the space of half an hour. If you haven't got that written in your margin, in Revelation 8 verse 1, silence in heaven is AD 324. So when Constantine comes in and there's political stability and silence in the political heavens of Rome. Therefore, from the time Constantine takes power of the whole world until the time he dies is the period of 14 years, historically. Now, brothers and sisters, the contrast is this, in young people. Chaos there, with all that was going on in the sixth seal. Seventh seal opens there. There's Revelation 8, verse 1. It opens up, and in contrast to the chaos of the sixth seal, there's silence in the political heavens for 14 years. Revelation 8, verse 1, and John sees these angels standing there in the silence about to receive each a trumpet. Seven trumpets, these seven angels. Now let's look at the time period very quickly, and that'll be our night together. Chapter opens. There was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. John listens, hears nothing, there's silence for about a half an hour. 12 hours in a Jewish day? Yes. Jesus said that in John 11 and verse 9, not John 9. And of course we have this statement, or these statements, often in the New Testament. It was about the sixth hour, it was about the ninth hour, taking it from 6 a.m. So there are 12 hours in a Jewish day. 1 hour is a 12th of a day. A half an hour is a 24th of a day. All happy with that so far? Pretty easy? Absolutely. Let's apply the day for you principle based on those quotes we looked at. Therefore, 12 hours in a Jewish day, 12 months in a year. 1 hour is 1 month. You've already looked at that. There's a single conversion. 1 hour is 1 month, or 1 hour is 30 days. 1 hour is 30 days, single conversion. A half an hour, being a 24th of a day, well, a half an hour is a half of a month. Or a half an hour, singly converted, is 15 days. A half an hour is 15 days, single conversion. Happy with that? Okay. 15 days with a double conversion, so we convert again to meet the decorum of the symbol, which I'll show you right now. A single conversion is a half an hour, is 15 days. So if it was singly converted, there was silence in heaven for about 15 days. We're going to convert it again. 15 days is 15 years. That's our second conversion. First conversion, second conversion. With me so far? No problems. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the record says there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. We're suggesting to you, therefore, that 14 years is the about the space of half an hour. It is, therefore, from AD 324, when Constantine comes in and, woof, there's silence in heaven. Until he dies in 337, the peace as a result of Constantine's victory over paganism was that 14-year period. Now, where's the decorum of the symbol come in that necessitates that we have to convert once and convert again? Here's the question. It's the question I'll ask you as we wrap up our class. If this time period was only to be singly converted and it would end up being 14 years, what would the record say? There was silence in heaven for about the space of, if it was only going to be a single conversion, 14 days. Here's John. Appropriate decorum. Here's John. He's just been writing about all the chaos, all the drama, all the colour of the sixth seal. Whoosh! The seventh seal opens, and John's got his parchment there, and there is silence. There is silence. Now, if John was standing there for 14 or 15 days, waiting for the next act in the drama, it would be inappropriate. It was silence. in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. So God just shrinks it and shrinks it to make it fit the appropriateness of the symbol, and we extend it and we extend it by the context of the chapter and also looking at the historical narrative of the events of Constantine. So, 14 years. So therefore, brothers and sisters, as we wrap it up, there we are. There is the chaos of the sixth seal. By contrast, there is the silence in the political heavens of Rome. 14 years, or about the space of half an hour. And when Constantine dies in verse 5 of Revelation 8, there is chaos back again. Finishing it off, if you just want to, if you haven't done this before, if you just turn your Bibles to verse 5 of Revelation 8, and you read there, there were thunderings and lightnings and voices. Revelation 8 and verse 5, thunderings and voices and lightnings. Now be careful, that little sentence there is AD 337. That's the death of Constantine. That's the end of the silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. AD 337 is the lightning, the thunders, and the voices. That's when Constantine's three sons wanted to carve up the empire, and they were squabbling and squabbling and squabbling. And then the next verse says, and an earthquake. That earthquake is AD 361. That's when Julian came in, Constantine's nephew, and said, I've had enough of Christianity, I've had enough of the Catholics, I'm bringing paganism back again. And paganism came back for 2 years. It was a little earthquake. Lasted 2 years, and then Catholicism came back. Let's just finish off. Not with that. It's too late. Not with that. That one. No, what happened? Oh, hang on, we'll go back. Right. Let's finish off with this one. Why is there no conversion? No single conversion? No double conversion? Why do you think there is no conversion with 1,000 years? Tis? What if we did try to singly convert it? How many days are there in 1,000 years? How many? So if we tried to singly convert that, that's 360,000 days, which the Lord Jesus Christ and we would reign for 360,000 years. Nope. It doesn't fit. It does not fit the 7 days of creation. It doesn't fit the 7,000-year plan, where the Sabbath is the seventh day of rest and the millennium. Doesn't fit that context. And you could not singly convert and say it's 360,000 years that the kingdom will be. Besides which, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ as king, there is no reduction. There is no reducing. There is no minimizing of his kingdom. His kingdom will be magnificent. And that time period stands in its glory for the seventh day rest and the seventh day of Jesus Christ's reign. Thank you, brethren and sisters. I think that is probably enough. Thank you very much.